This is DJ Frederick Moe. You're listening to Free Radio Skybird on channel 292-6070 kHz shortwave.
Oh, my friend, how do you do? We hope you have a moment or two to listen to what we have to say to each and every one of you.
Again, this is DJ Frederick Moe. You are tuned to Free Radio Skybird, community radio for shortwave listening. Playing 78s, 45s, 33s, cassettes, and compact discs. You'll hear library music, folk, jazz, easy listening, and independent music on Free Radio Skybird, coming to you from channel 292 on 6070 kHz shortwave. Coming up a little bit later, I'm going to have a documentary about the birth of American broadcast radio from Frank Conrad's garage. Until then, let's listen to some music. Let's start this edition of Free Radio Skybird with some music by the Greg Foate Group. That's spelled F-O-A-T. From the CD Cityscapes and Landscapes, released on Jazzman Records. Beautiful music by Renee Gonzalez Shelbeck, who records under the name Western Skies Motel, from a relatively new release called Settlers. We heard the track Falling Leaves. And for more information, please visit westernskiesmotel.bandcamp.com. This is DJ Frederick Moe. You're tuned to Free Radio Skybird, community radio for shortwave listeners.
Have you heard the sirens call today? You might have, and not even known it. You're on The Soundbeat. The mythical sirens have long been depicted as tantalizing, seductive banes to the existence of accursed sailors, enchanted by their fatal song. The Greeks had them as winged maidens, but somewhere along the way, the meaning shifted. In most European languages, the word siren translates as mermaid. You're listening to the Green Brothers Novelty Band with Siren of the South Sea. If the smell of fresh-brewed coffee renders you helpless, you may have run into Melusina today. Starbucks has used the half-woman, half-water serpent's likeness since 1971, based on a Norse woodcut. Why the nautical theme? Starbuck was the name of Captain Ahab's first mate in Moby Dick. For much more on all sultry denizens of the deep, type siren in the search bar at soundbeat.org. Soundbeat is produced at the Belfer Audio Archive, Syracuse University Library. I'm Brett Barry. Thank you.
two guitar pieces by Rolf Sturm. That was Stella by Starlight by Victor Young. And before that, we heard Rolf Sturm's cover of Cowgirl in the Sand by Neil Young from a CD titled Young, released on Water Street Music. For more information, check out waterstreetmusic.org. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to Free Radio Skybird. QSLs are available for an accurate reception report. I'd be glad to send you a QSL and other information about this community radio station. Now, what am I looking for in a reception report? Basically, I would like to know the date, time, and frequency of the broadcast and the quality of reception at your location. Also, something about yourself and your community or your hobbies. Comments about what you have heard on the program, and that's absolutely critical so that I know you actually listened to Free Radio Skybird. If you have any musical requests, I'd appreciate hearing of those, and I would be glad to play them for you on future editions and future broadcasts. Also, donations are really, really helpful for return postage to keep the program going so that I'm not investing too much of my own money on postage for QSLs. Other donations are also much appreciated. Now, my policy is that I offer QSLs for postal mail only. I do not offer QSLs for emails or emailed reception reports. There will be no exceptions to this policy. If you live in North Korea, smuggle a letter out of the country. Seriously, the post office works. You place a stamp on a letter, put it in a mailbox, and magically it appears in my mailbox in New Hampshire, half a world away. Wow. So, also, please, if you're going to send donations, please send cash. Do not send postal coupons or currency other than U.S. dollars. And if you wonder what you've heard on Free Radio Skybird, well, starting with this broadcast, playlists will be included with your QSL. So, if you got all that, send your reception report to DJ Frederick Moe. That's Frederick Moe, Mike Oscar Echo, M-O-E, at 36 West Main Street. That's 36 West Main Street in Warner, W-A-R-N-E-R, Warner, New Hampshire, which is abbreviated NH, with a zip code 03278. The zip code again is 03278 in the USA. I'll give that address out again before the end of the program. Coming up, we have a documentary about early radio broadcasting in the United States. But before that, we're going to listen to some new music. We're going to listen to an organ trio with Adrian Fenimore on Hammond B3, Peter Bernstein on guitar, and Willie Jones III on drums. The name of the CD is Mo Puddin. It's by Adrian Fenimore. It's an absolutely stunning album. I could actually play every track off of this CD. It's that good. But we're going to hear an original by Adrian Fenimore called Minor Mix-Up. Then we're going to hear her cover version of Jimmy Smith's Back at the Chicken Shack. Here's Adrian Fenimore. Thank you.
We're listening to the sounds of homing pigeons and remembering their cousin, the passenger pigeon, once one of the most abundant species on Earth, now extinct for 100 years. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is The Pulse of the Planet. There are efforts afoot to clone the passenger pigeon and try to reestablish their population. They call it de-extinction. One of the places scientists turn to for pigeon DNA samples is the Royal Ontario Museum in Canada, home to the world's largest collection of stuffed passenger pigeons. Mark Peck is manager of the ornithology collections.
It's an interesting idea. I'm not sure I'm 100% for it, unfortunately. I'm concerned about some of the ramifications of the de-extinction process. You know, does that mean that we don't have to worry about endangered species anymore? We can just bring them back? Where are you going to put them once you bring them back? You know, there's a habitat loss that accounts for a lot of these extinction processes. And how long is it going to take you to actually bring back a passenger pigeon? Like, to take a small segment of DNA and place it into a band-tailed pigeon doesn't mean you're going to get a passenger pigeon in the next generation. You know, so there's a lot of work involved in actually doing that. The de-extinction, it's not going to have great monetary value, but it is a very interesting process to try and work through. And with the advances in molecular research, maybe it is possible 20 years down the road or 30 years down the road, but right now it's in its infancy, and we're not going to see passenger pigeons flying around North America in the near future.
My thanks to Britt Ray for recording the interview. Pulse of the Planet is made possible in part by Virginia Tech, inventing the future through a hands-on approach to education and research.
Well, it's time to dig into the mighty mailbag here at Free Radio Skybird. I received a letter from Tim Brayel from Selangor, Malaysia. And Tim says, "Hi, DJ Frederick Moe. Greetings from a warm and sunny Malaysia. You may be interested to learn that Free Radio Skybird via Channel 292 was received on the 2nd of April 2016 from 1600 until 1700 UTC here in the Kuala Lumpur area using an SDR receiver at the University of Twente in the Netherlands. An eclectic mix of jazz, avant-garde, ambient, folk, and folk rock music was heard in an hour-long broadcast. Wow, what an interesting and fascinating selection of tunes. I really enjoyed it. I haven't heard this sort of programming since I left the U.S. 30 years ago." Well, thank you very much, Tim. I really appreciate your comments. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do with Free Radio Skybird, is to be a community radio station for shortwave listeners coming to you from New Hampshire in the United States and broadcasting around the world. In subsequent programs, I'll be talking more about New Hampshire and this part of the world and some of its radio history. So please stay tuned. We'll be broadcasting on Channel 292, hopefully about once a month. Now, if you'd like a QSL, please send a detailed reception report to DJ Frederick Moe, 36 West Main Street, Warner, New Hampshire, 03278. That's DJ Frederick Moe, M-O-E, 3636, West Main Street, Warner, W-A-R-N-E-R, New Hampshire, which is abbreviated N-H, 03278, United States of America. I'll be glad to read your letter on the airwaves here at Free Radio Skybird and also send you a QSL card as well as some other information from Free Radio Skybird. If you're not quite sure what music you've heard on the broadcast, you can request a playlist. And also, I have some very cool Free Radio Skybird pins that I'll be sending out to listeners. So please write postal mail only. And if your reception report is accurate and detailed, you will get a return envelope from me.
You were the sunshine, baby, whenever you smile, but I sudden
I am the Edison phonograph, created by the great wizard of the New World to delight those who have never
been. Good evening. This is Admiral.
Serve your friends the beer with that new 1952 taste. Y'all are
you aware of Thomas Edison said, to invent, you need a good imagination and a pile of junk, which might describe the contents of Frank Conrad's garage on the outskirts of Pittsburgh. Some say that that is where the modern broadcasting industry began. In 1920, Conrad's weekly broadcast from his garage led to the founding of KDKA, which is widely considered to be the world's first commercial radio station. For our occasional series, Lost and Found Sound, Joe Richman has the story of Conrad's garage.
The sounds that came out of Frank Conrad's garage in 1919 and 1920 are gone. There were no recordings made, and everyone who participated in those weekly broadcasts has died. In fact, there may be only one person still alive who actually heard what was going on in that garage, a man named Harry Mills.
This is K4HU. Hello, Charlie. W1HVA, here's K4HU. How are you this evening?
I'm pretty good. I'm a little sleepy.
Harry Mills is 94 years old. He was an engineer for RCA most of his life, but for the last 8 decades, he's been going on the ham radio just about every day. Mills first discovered radio in 1919. He was 12 years old, and his parents bought him a copy of the Boy Scout Handbook.
In the book, after a lot of the camping and setting up a tent in the rain and helping the old lady cross the street and so on, in the back was a chapter on how to build a wireless station. I had never heard of such a thing. So I built one. I'll show you how it works.
It was built out of photograph plates and tin foil, a condenser, and this is weather stripping. And this is a Ford coil, Ford ignition coil, which would hook onto your antenna and you're on the air.
This is what radio sounded like when Mills first started, the dots and dashes of Morse code.
That's the letter V, which you use for test purposes. If he hears me, he'd come back and we'd hold a conversation, as simple as that.
Almost every night, Harry Mills would lie in his bed and listen to the amateur radio operator signal back and forth. Then one night, he heard something different.
I remember it was 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and all at once this voice appears. And I remember letting out a yelp or a shout of some sort, and my dad, who had just gotten out of the bath, come in wrapped in a towel to be sure I was all right. Something hadn't happened to me. And I said, "Dad, look, I'm hearing this fellow talking." And we shared the headphones. We only had one pair of headphones. And he allowed it. I was right.
Harry Mills had stumbled onto the experimental transmissions coming from Frank Conrad's garage, 35 miles away.
He was talking and he says, "Now I'm going to play a phonograph record." And he did. It was astounding. I didn't know you could do that. To begin with, I hadn't heard voice before, and as I add up the music, it opens up a whole new world.
Frank Conrad was not the first person to talk and play music on the radio. Inventors like Reginald Fessenden, Lee DeForest, and Marconi had been doing such experiments as early as 1906. But back then, radio was seen as a method of one-to-one communication, like the telegraph. Few envisioned radio as a way to reach many people at the same time, to broadcast. Frank Conrad was among the first to use the word broadcasting. It was originally an agricultural term used to describe the distribution of seeds over a large area. In his garage, Conrad helped to change the concept of radio, and he did it largely by accident.
Testing, testing. Testing 1, 2, 3, test 1, 2, 3. This is Frank Conrad from the garage. This is what it would have sounded like anyway.
It's probably fair to say that nobody cares more about Frank Conrad's garage than a man named Rick Harris. Harris is an amateur historian who has dedicated his life to preserving and researching the history of that garage. He's collected replicas of the equipment Conrad used, a microphone made out of the top of a candlestick telephone, mounted in a small box stuffed with cotton, and a hand-cranked Victrola.
You turn the crank.
Rick Harris says the story of Frank Conrad's garage really begins with that Victrola. Conrad was an engineer for Westinghouse, so he had access to vacuum tubes, which allowed him to transmit his voice over the air. But at the time, Conrad wasn't thinking about broadcasting. He was simply trying to test and improve his transmitting equipment.
The problem was his voice, after talking endless hours into the microphone, would wear out. So he got the idea one day to put on a record that would give him 2 or 3 minutes to adjust his equipment and would save his voice. This one is an ancient one, so I don't know what it's going to sound like, though. And as soon as he started playing the music, he began getting requests for more music, and he would get phone calls and letters asking him to play a certain song at a certain time so someone listening with their crystal set could convince a relative that you could actually play music over the air. He found very quickly that there was an unseen audience out there.
People would call me up at night and ask me to transmit. They once said they had some friends, wanted to listen to something coming out of the air.
This is Frank Conrad, recorded in the late 1930s, not long before he died.
And they finally got to take care of that. I sort of arranged to send a program twice a week, every Wednesday and Saturday night. First at that time, and I actually had no idea what it was going to end up to do.
Over time, Conrad's garage started to sound more like a radio station. Along with phonograph records, Conrad would transmit piano solos by family members and baseball scores. And then, when he started to run out of records to play, Conrad went to the Hamilton Music Store and asked if he could borrow some for his broadcasts. The owner said yes, as long as Conrad agreed to announce the name of the store on the air. Slowly, Conrad was building the one thing the radio industry hadn't yet thought much about, an audience. But the real turning point came on September 29, 1920, when the Joseph Horn Department Store placed this ad in the Pittsburgh Sun.
Air concert picked up by radio here. The music was from a Victrola in the home of Frank Conrad. Mr. Conrad is a wireless enthusiast and puts on the wireless concerts periodically for the entertainment of many people in this district who have wireless sets. Amateur wireless sets are on sale here, $10 and up.
The ad really caught the attention of Conrad's boss at Westinghouse, a man by the name of Harry Davis, who, the story goes, called Conrad in the next day and said, essentially, I would like to put you out of business because I would like Westinghouse to set up its own station. And Davis asked Conrad, could that be done? And Conrad said, of course.
So over the next month, Conrad and his team began constructing a wooden shack on the roof of the Westinghouse plant. They built a 100-watt transmitter. And at 6 p.m. on the night of November 2, 1920, the newly licensed station, KDKA, went on the air.
This is KDKA of the Westinghouse Electric and Manufacturing Company in East Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We shall now broadcast the election returns.
The station launched by broadcasting the returns of the Harding-Cox presidential election. There were no recordings of that broadcast, but in the late 1930s, the original announcer, Leo Rosenberg, made this recreation.
We'd appreciate it if anyone hearing this broadcast would communicate with us, as we are very anxious to know how far the broadcast is reaching and how it is being received.
Well, nobody had ever heard of such a thing before. You had to wait till the next day to find out who won the election.
Harry Mills, who was 13 by this time, remembers going down to the local newspaper where they had set up a receiving station.
Somebody would sit at the receiver and a crowd gathered outside, or a number of people, and they would watch these returns being updated as the numbers came in bigger. The next day in the newspaper, of course, the talk was, gee, for the first time ever, people were able to get the reports before the newspaper was printed.
I think it's very difficult for us today to imagine really quite what a magical moment this was.
Susan Douglas is a professor at the University of Michigan and the author of Inventing American Broadcasting. She says the KDKA election broadcast was a watershed event.
And because there were no connecting wires, because of this, there was this concept of the ether, there was kind of a cosmic connection for people. It was a quasi sort of spiritual event that these voices were coming out of the air into your home.
And 2 weeks after that first transmission, Westinghouse introduced the first radio for the general public, the Areola Junior, which sold for $25. The broadcasting boom had begun, and over the next few years, radio would move out of the garage and into the living room.
Sounds wonderful. It's KDKA Pittsburgh. Wherever you go.
Today, KDKA is considered the oldest radio station in the country. History has not been as kind to Frank Conrad's garage. This fall, bulldozers began to clear the site. It will soon be a Wendy's. The bulldozers destroyed Conrad's house, but Rick Harris and a group of supporters called the Conrad Project managed to save the garage, piece by piece.
The woodwork, all of the doors, the windows, and some 25,000 or so bricks, the ones that survived anyway. I don't know, it's just the more I learn about Frank Conrad and what he did and the fact that he's virtually unknown outside of Pittsburgh, it's just something, it feels that he's been overlooked for what he did.
Someday, Harris hopes to reconstruct Conrad's garage and turn it into a museum. Frank Conrad may have helped to launch the modern broadcasting industry, but that wasn't really his vision. Conrad was just a talented engineer tinkering late at night in his garage, trying to connect to people through the air. And that pretty well describes what 94-year-old Harry Mills is still doing every night at 10 o'clock.
W1UEA, here's K4HU. Thank you, guy. Yes, I'm reading you very well.
After all this time, Harry Mills says he still feels the same way he felt when he first heard Frank Conrad's voice coming out of the radio.
To me, it's difficult to describe the fascination of it. I know I use it all the time. How does it happen? Can't see the fella. There's no wires going from here to there, but you can talk to him. It was a phenomenon that interested me from the beginning. I presume it's safe to say I've never gotten over it. So with that, I'm going to say good night. Thanks for the use of your loudspeaker. So good night, Bob, and good night, Guy. W1TRF, K4HU.
Okay, very good. Good night. Good night, Guy. W1TRF. Good night, all. W1TRF.
You're listening to Free Radio Skybird, community radio for shortwave listeners. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of Free Radio Skybird. I'm DJ Frederick Moe, broadcasting from the hills of New Hampshire around the world. Remember, wherever you are on the planet listening to Free Radio Skybird, keep your radio free, keep your mind free, and keep your spirit free. You've been listening to Free Radio Skybird on Channel 292, 6070 kHz. Please send correspondence to Free Radio Skybird, DJ Frederick Moe, 36 West Main Street, Warner, New Hampshire, 03278. I'm looking forward to hearing from you.